Welcome, 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 my friends. We made it to the second episode of Vince Russo's Before My Brain Explodes. Welcome, 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 everybody, to the show. I want to thank all of you for listening to the pilot episode. It really means a lot to me, man, that you take some of your valuable time to let me entertain you. And let me explain first and foremost a little something about myself. I am an entertainer. I am an entertainer at heart, and that's what I do through all of my shows, man, regardless of what platform they're on, whether it's russosbrand.com, patreon.com/RussoTWC, whether it's right here on Believe. My job, my duty, my passion, my love is to entertain you. That's why across the board, you will never hear me doing super serious shows. And if the topic is serious, I am always going to try and find some comedy in it. Some people don't understand that, but I understand this, man. Life is too short. And, you know, especially me having been associated with the wrestling business for 30 years. If anybody believes that I'm going to take fake fighting seriously, you are absolutely out of your minds. Wrestling is a form of entertainment. This show and all my podcasts are a form of entertainment. I am here to entertain you. I am not here to be serious. I can be serious when I need to be serious. But I got to tell you, man, so many years, when I was driving in my car down the road, when there wasn't such a thing as podcast or streaming, I'd always have that radio on, man, and I'd always listen to Howard Stern starting in 1983 because I wanted to be entertained. And in that car ride, many car rides with Stern on the radio, I grew a passion for talking and for broadcasting. And that's why podcasting is a gift. It is a gift to me. I don't know what I would do without podcasting, but my point is, I know you're listening to me in a car, in a gym, wherever you are. And my sole purpose is to entertain you. I hope you don't take anything I say over seriously. And yes, something happened to me that spawned this little discussion that was not planned off the top. You know, I was asked to be a part of a podcast on Saturday night. Saturday night. Now, guys, if you know me, you know I don't do anything on Saturday and Sunday. Saturday and Sunday, man, I try to spend as much time as I can with my wife. You know, Monday through Friday, it is balls to the wall. I bust my ass with all these shows. I've lost count of how many shows I do every week. But I agreed to do this show Saturday night, thinking maybe it would be an hour tops. The show wound up being 3 hours on a Saturday night. And evidently, I got a voicemail this morning where the host of the show didn't either understand or appreciate my sense of humor. Brother, you're taking 3 hours from me on a Saturday night. 3 hours. And if I'm not going to have fun in those 3 hours, what? I'm going to be all serious in those 3 hours? Serious with my opinion? Sorry, man. This is who I am. And if you can't accept who I am, don't ever ask me to be on your show again. As a matter of fact, this show was a contest. And you had to go on to the second round based on questions and answered. And by God, I proceeded to go on to the second round. But after, you know, getting a message this morning, I said, you know what? Count me out of the second round. Because if you can't understand, man, that I am an entertainer, I am trying to have fun, I don't take life that seriously over a stupid podcast, then I am not interested in moving on to the $20,000 question. So I want you guys to understand, man, that's what these are all about. I have an opinion. I take my opinion freaking lightly. You know, I've never been the person, whereas if you don't agree with me, go F yourself. I take my opinion very lightly because I know it's nothing more than opinion. And it's what I think. And I got to tell you, man, I am floored. I am taken back. I am flabbergasted that many of you actually care about my opinion. That really does mean a lot to me, but I never lose sight of the fact that it's my opinion. You know, we just went through an entire election. Never once did I say who I was voting for. Never once did I tell anybody else who to vote for. Never once. Because I respect you. I respect your decision. I respect your opinion. But I ain't going to get all caught up in the seriousness and the bullshit of the entire world, especially on a podcast you ask me to do, where first and foremost, I am going to be myself. Period. End of story. You don't want me, then go get somebody else. Go get somebody else who's a little bit more serious. But anyway, enough about that, man. I got some topics I want to discuss with you guys today. I always like, man, I always do this show like immediately after Yellowstone. That's my go-to show right now. I've watched every episode of Yellowstone. I think we're in season 5. So Sunday night it airs. And man, I got to tell you, you guys know I am a writer at heart. I am a storyteller at heart. I am a character developer at heart. And when the head writer has a plan, and I am sure there was an absolute plan for this show the second Taylor Sheridan sat down to write it. I guarantee you, man. He knew where this show was starting, a beginning, a middle, and an end. He knew where it was ending. And he got thrown a curveball, man, because he had some difficulties. I don't want to say difficulties, misunderstandings with the star, Kevin Costner. And, you know, Kevin dropped out of the show, went to work on another project. So they had to prematurely kill that character off. And, man, I got to tell you, as a writer, when you have a plan and you have a story in place, and then for reasons out of your control, you now got to go another direction. It is very difficult. It happened to me all the time in wrestling when somebody would get hurt, when there was a contract dispute, if somebody was suspended. There's a million reasons where I would have a plan and then I'd have to change at the last minute and alter that plan. But for a main character, the main character to die prematurely, now you got to come up with how does he die, the reasons behind the death, figure out how all the other characters, you know, deal with that loss. Unbelievable job. Unbelievable job. And, you know, now we are starting to get some plot twists. Now we're starting to get some story. You know, early on in the first couple of episodes, his son Casey and his daughter Beth figured foul play, which was a no-brainer. John Dutton was not the type of character that would take his own life. And now we are finding out, I believe this was the third episode, that this is now a homicide. There's a great scene. There's a great scene in this episode with the coroner, where you know, it's broken down. Casey figures out that his dad was indeed murdered. But I got to tell you again, guys, unbelievable job for the creator of this show, the writer of this show, to deal with a bad case scenario in real life and be able to turn on the dime. Highly recommend this show to anybody else. Guys, I love when you recommend shows to me. I like to think of myself as a professional television critic. You guys know my history, man. I've been watching TV my whole life, man. I love watching TV. I always watched it for the characters in the story. Always, man. If there's anything out there you think I should be watching and you'd like me to talk about, please let me know. OfficialVinTrusso@gmail.com. One thing, though, man, I got to talk about, man. These freaking streaming services and pay channels. You know, all of a sudden, there's Paramount and there's Paramount Plus. Okay. And I have Paramount Plus. And I have Paramount Plus for Tulsa Kings. And now I go to watch Yellowstone and it's on Paramount. Now, I used to have Paramount last year. All of a sudden, I realized I don't have Paramount anymore. So I'm like, what the frig? I find out as I was trying to cut down on my cable bill, on my streaming bill, I cut out Showtime. Bro, let's be honest. People get Showtime for one reason and one reason only. Soft porn movies on Showtime. That is the only reason people get Showtime. And bro, when you're a 63-year-old man, you really don't need the soft porn movies on Showtime anymore. So I cancel Showtime. I'm not 13 years old, man. I don't need to be, you know, whacking my willy watching Showtime movies. Those days are over. So I cancel Showtime to save a buck. And then I find out that Paramount is bundled with Showtime. So in canceling Showtime, I lost Paramount. Bro, that is the gimmick. That is the gimmick with these streaming services. There is always one show you have to watch. Just one show. There's nothing else on the network you're ever going to watch, but they get you, bro. They get you with that one show. Just like, okay, now I got to get Paramount so I can watch Yellowstone. You know, I got to have Max so I can watch Curb Your Enthusiasm. I got to see the penguin. I got to get Paramount Plus for Tulsa Kings. You know, a lot of people, a lot of Ted Lasso fans out there, there's always one show that is going to get you. You're not going to watch anything else ever. But there's that one show, you know, with Peacock. You know, I review the Attitude Era, which I wrote 25 years ago. So I need to watch the old Attitude Era shows. What do I got to do? I got to subscribe to Peacock. There's nothing else I'm going to watch on Peacock but old Attitude Era shows. But I'm Peacock. These people, they know what they're doing, man. They know what they're doing. But that also tells you, man, that must-see TV is alive and well. Because if I am paying money, if I am paying my cold cash to watch a program, that means it's must-see TV. So the executives of these streaming services, of these pay channels, they know exactly what they're doing. The entire lineup, man, can be crapola, all of it, bro. You know, reruns of Who's the Boss, whatever the hell's on there. It doesn't matter because they're going to put the money and they're going to put their resources into that one show. And that one show is what's going to get you. And it's a shame, bro. I swear, I want to sit here. I want to cut promos on myself. I want to kick myself in the ass because I know what they're doing. And it works. And it works. We could have 5,000 shows on the freaking network. 4,999 of them are shit. But I've got to watch that one show. Man, it's no different with Netflix. You know, why do you think they have these very popular series? This is why. you know, I got to see Game of Thrones. Let's stretch that out over 3 months. Same with Netflix, a lot of series on there because they know they get you hooked to that series and you got to watch that series. Now, I wish I was here giving you an answer. There's no answer for me to give you. They screwed a pooch and we are the pooches getting screwed. We're suckers for good television. We're suckers for good entertainment. And these network executives, these programmers know exactly what they're doing. And kudos, hats off. Guys, when I come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about a movie that I revisited over the weekend. And I'm going to talk to you about my bizarre taste in bizarre movies. Really, really weird. I don't know where they come from. But again, I revisited a movie this weekend. I am going to tell all of you all about it. But you got to come back, bro. You got to come back right after this break. I'll be right back, everybody. All right, everybody. I am back. I hope you didn't go anywhere, man. I hope I hooked you. That's called a hook, man, going into a commercial break. I tease you with something. I tease you with something. Then I hook you and you come back. But it's not like these streaming services or these pay channels. Why? Because this show is free. You are listening to this show free on Bleav. And I want to thank Bleav, man, for giving me the opportunity to do a show outside of wrestling, which I really, really enjoy doing. I want to thank all of you, man, for taking the time to listen to me. I really, really, really appreciate that. You know, guys, my life, my love of movies, my love of television, my love of music, my love of entertainment, my love of pop culture. It really is a love, man. It really is. And over the years, man, I've loved bizarro movies. Now there are some movies I won't see. I won't cross the line. I'll give you an example. That movie Centipede. You remember the movie Centipede, bro, where everybody was sewn together ass to mouth. Remember that? I will never watch that movie. That is way, way, way past my bizarre off-color taste. That is too much. There's a recent trilogy out, a movie by the name of Terrifier. I will not watch this movie, Terrifier. I heard that it is beyond, I don't want to say watchable because a lot of people are watching it. It's gross, bro. You know, and I know it's special effects. I understand all that. But I'm too afraid to watch this movie, Terrifier. And I even know, you know, a friend of mine, Chris Jericho, is in Terrifier. I won't watch Terrifier. So I do draw the line. You know, Centipede, Terrifier. Those films are way too much for me. Now, other films, to kind of give you an idea of my taste before I get into the movie I revisited this weekend, you know, like Toxic Avenger, all those trauma films, trauma, whatever, all those films back in the 70s, Toxic Avenger, great movie, because, I don't know, man, I guess they're so bad that they're good. Killer Clowns from Outer Space, they're so bad that they're good. You know, a couple of like disturbing movies that I've watched several times. You know, Dennis Hopper in Blue Velvet. Guys, I got to tell you a quick Dennis Hopper story. I actually got to meet the late, great Dennis Hopper. And bro, listen, man, Dennis Hopper, one of the world's greatest actors. You know, greatest actors. You know, Dennis Hopper was kind of, you know, made a name for himself, kind of discovered an easy rider. You know, if anybody saw Hoosiers, oh my God, what a portrayal in that movie, Hoosiers. You know, Dennis Hopper had made, you know, he's since passed, you know, thousands and thousands of great, great movies over the years. And bro, I'll never forget, back in around 1991, I think, I went to this VSDA convention. VSDA, bro, was the Video Software Dealers Association. I owned two video stores, bro, early on in life. And these were the mom and pop stores, man. I'll do a whole show about that one time. You guys remember the mom and pop video stores that we all loved, we all adored, and we all missed. Well, you know, early on, they would have a convention in Vegas called the VSDA, Video Software Dealers Association. And all the major companies were out there, man. Every major company, and they were promoting the big releases that were coming out in video, VHS and beta for the upcoming year. And bro, this was a huge convention, and every distributor, every studio, they brought out the biggest stars. As a matter of fact, bro, there's an infamous photo of myself and Hulk Hogan back in the day. You can probably find it online. That was taken at the Video Software Dealers Association. Hulk was there representing Coliseum Video. But the biggest stars in the world were there. Bro, they even had like a porn section where they had all the women in the industry, porn stars were there. Because I remember, man, my father, you know, kept gravitating over to the porn stars, and I had to pull him back over. But on the other side, man, unbelievable stars. I remember, you know, this is right around the beginning of Nightmare on Elm Street. You know, I remember Freddy Krueger. His name's escaping me. Robert England was there. I remember seeing, of all people, Vanna White was there. I remember meeting Lita Ford, the great Lita Ford of the Runaways. They always had great, great, great talent. All the great talent. So many big names. I met Dennis Hopper at the VSDA. And I want to get Dennis Hopper, get a picture, get a little autograph with Dennis Hopper. Oh, I also met Frank Zappa there, bro. Forgot. Almost forgot. Frank Zappa. Can you imagine? Big hitters were at this thing. So I met Dennis Hopper. And I go up to Dennis Hopper and I said, man, Mr. Hopper, you were great in. Now, bro, he's waiting for me to say Hoosiers. He's waiting for me to say Easy Rider. I said, you were great in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. Bro, the look Dennis Hopper gave me. Like, that was the last picture he wanted me to bring up. But the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, man, is one of those movies that I am telling you about. You know, Blue Velvet, another Dennis Hopper movie. I'm drawn to these weirdo movies. I'll tell you, one of my favorite movies of all time, bro, with a very young Keanu Reeves. Keanu, I can never say his name. Everybody makes fun of me the way I say his name. It was a movie called Razor's Edge, bro. Razor's Edge. It was about a group of friends. And one of the friends winds up strangling his girlfriend at the river's edge and leaving her body there. Bro, as a matter of fact, Dennis Hopper is in River's Edge. So I love Blue Velvet. I love River's Edge. And I'm telling Dennis Hopper his best work was in Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. But that's ironic, bro. I never realized that Dennis Hopper was in all of those films until now. But guys, I'm telling you, River's Edge, one of my favorite movies, but so freaking disturbing. I don't know what it is with me and these disturbing movies. So I remembered, man, there was another disturbing movie that I actually saw in the movie theater. Bro, there's another one. I think it's called Crash, maybe? Crash where James Spader, bro, they reenact all these iconic car crashes, bro. You know, James Dean, you know, dying in it. They literally reenact. They get a high off of reenacting these fatal car crashes. I think it's called Crash, I believe. That's another one. I don't know what it is, bro, in these weirdo movies. But there's this weirdo movie, man, that I had actually seen in the theater. I had not seen it for a while. It's called Boxing Helena. You guys ever see Boxing Helena? It stars Julian Sands. I don't know what else Julian Sands was in. Very fine actor, though. He played Dr. Nick Cavanaugh and the beautiful, beautiful Cheryl Finn. Was in this movie, Boxing Helena. Cheryl Finn went on to be in Twin Peaks, another epic, epic series, bizarro. You don't know what's going on. That's a lot of things with these movies too, bro, especially the David Lynch movies. You never understand them. And when a David Lynch movie ends, or like a Twin Peaks ends, you spend weeks trying to understand what it is you just saw. And then you finally realize it doesn't make sense. It's not supposed to make sense. David Lynch purposely is making you think about these movies and these shows for days on end that don't mean anything. He's laughing at us, bro. It's a big work, just so you guys know. Melrose, what was the name of that place? Melrose Avenue? Oh my God, bro. To this day, I have no idea what it means. U-Turn is another one. U-Turn, I think. I don't know. These movies mean nothing. But in getting back to Boxing Helena, this doctor has this obsession with this woman, Helena. And Helena, bro, is the biggest biatch on the planet. Biggest biatch on the planet. She wants nothing to do with this doctor. So she has an argument with this dude, kind of, you know, is trying to get away from him, winds up getting hit by a car. The next scene, bro, we go to his house. And he's got Helena there in the house, all prettied up, dressed to the nines. And she's sitting on his bed. And bro, she got no legs. She got no legs. So Dr. Nick Cavanaugh double amputated her legs. She's got no legs. And bro, with no legs, she's still a bitch. She is still a bitch with no legs. So now, poor Dr. Cavanaugh is trying to take care of her. He's, you know, trying to feed her, trying to make better. Every time he gets within 2 inches of her, bro, she starts punching him, scratching him, slapping him. She still got arms, right? Well, wrong. Not for long, bro. He amputates her arms. So now he's got her propped up on a throne. It's got all kinds of flowers around her, and she's got no arms. She's got no legs. Boxing Helena, putting Helena in a box. Thus the name. Bro, bizarro. Bizarro. I hadn't seen that movie for years and years and years. I'm not going to ruin the ending for you. But you guys can go to YouTube. That is where I saw the film. I saw it on YouTube. They break it down into like 8 different parts. It's no big deal. The quality is great. But yeah, bro, check that out. Boxing Helena. And once you do check it out, you are going to say, Vinny Rue, what is wrong with you, man? River's Edge, Blue Velvet, Boxing Helena. What is wrong? I don't know what it is, bro. I do know what it is. I just like shit that's different, man. I like off the beaten path. I like experiencing and seeing things that I've never really seen before. And as I said, bro, there's a line. You know, I ain't going to watch Centipede. There's a line of how far I will go. But I like weird. I like Bizarro. Man, another great movie, man. These come to me as I'm talking to you. These are some of my all-time favorites. Videodrome. Videodrome with James Woods, man, and a very, very, very young Deborah Harry. David Cronenberg, I believe. That is a great film, guys. Videodrome. And listen, man, again, I if anybody has any off-color films out there I have not seen, please tell me what they were. What was that last one? There was that last one with that girl from La La Land, the redhead from La La Land who was in, oh my gosh, I can't think of the name. It won an Oscar. Absolutely Bizarro Land. Absolutely Bizarro Land. If you guys got anything out there that you think I might be interested, please let me know. But I'm going to tell you this. If you recommend something and I watch it and I think it sucks, I am going to cut a promo for you right on this next episode. But before we get to the next episode, man, I'm gonna wrap up this one after this break. And you're going to want to come back and listen, bro, because I got a few things I want to say about who Taylor Swift really is. I mean, really. So please come back right after this very short break. I am back, everybody. We are here for the final last segment of Vince Russo Before My Head Explodes. I'm enjoying the talk, man. I hope you are enjoying the talk. I got a lot of things I want to talk about in these episodes, man. Hang with me, man. You will be very entertained. Guys, if you know anything about me, a lot of you do, a lot of you listen to my other shows, you know I am a Beatle mark. My number one band of all time, far and away, man. Beatles changed the world. And the way that band evolved with the music from the early 70s to, you know, 66, 67, you know, the folk years. And then we got into the psychedelic era. And oh my God, it blows my mind to understand that this band was together for literally less than a decade. Less than a decade, the Beatles were together. And the mark they left on this planet, man. But when the Beatles ended, a lot of people don't realize this. They weren't even 30 yet. They were in their 20s when they broke up, you know, 1969, 1970, you know, they really didn't come over here and make a mark until 63, 64. However, when you become that great that fast, it may be fabricated. And I do believe that about the Beatles. I can get into that. Guys, if you want to hear all about the truth behind the Beatles, man, I highly recommend you go to russosbrand.com. I did a two-part show with a gentleman by the name of Mike Williams, who I am a huge fan of. We talk about Tavistock. We talk about the Beatles more or less being created in a lab, a social engineering project to change and alter the minds of the youth. You know, these were four lads from Liverpool. You hear that all the time. Four lads from Liverpool, you know, playing a bar, playing the cavern. Bro, they were no better than anybody else. You know, many people say early on they weren't even good musicians. And they went from that to being the greatest band of all time. Bro, that does not happen by chance. That happens by design, and that happens by pattern and plan. And there is a purpose, and a lot of us don't realize it's going on. And the birth of the Beatles, you know, like I said, a social engineering experiment, is alive and well today. And it's alive and well through Taylor Swift. Guys, let me tell you something. If somebody has mediocre talent and they are on top of the world making billions and billions and billions of dollars and everybody knows who they are, that is not by chance. That is not by luck. That is by design. There is a plan in place and there is a machine behind that plan. When I look at Taylor Swift, guys, off the top of my head, I can name 20 female singers better than her. I can name 20 female songwriters better than her. I can name 20 female dancers better than her. She's mediocre. When it really comes to talent, man, she's middle of the pack. She doesn't have a Barbara Streisand voice. She's not a tremendous dancer. You know, songwriter. Oh my God, bro. Go listen to Carole King and compare Taylor Swift songs to Carole King. Bro, she's mediocre, but she's got that machine behind her that is making her larger than life, that is creating her influence on young teens around the world. Guys, if you don't believe me, let me just lay this out to you. Taylor Swift went to Nashville at 11 years old. 11 years old. At 13 years old, she signed an autistic developmental deal. 13 years old, bro. At 15 years old, she was recording with the best musicians in Nashville. 15 years old. Bro, she's mediocre. What songs was she writing when she was 15 years old? She was writing the same songs that she's writing today about boyfriends breaking up with her at 15. Bro, at 16, Taylor Swift has a recording deal. Do you understand? This is not based on talent. This isn't even based on being in the right place at the right time. This was a plan that was put into place. And Taylor Swift was the chosen one. Just like back in the day, man, early 60s, the Beatles were the chosen one. You do not have mediocre talent and become the pop icon that Taylor Swift is. She's owned. Somebody is pulling the strings. She is answering to a much, much higher power. And bro, we see this all the time. You see this all the time with actors and musicians and entertainers. And you see this all the time when you ask yourself the question, how did they get there? You know, bro, this never really happens in professional sports because you've got to be elite to compete with the elite. You don't got to be elite. In entertainment, you don't have to be elite in Hollywood. You can be manufactured. I mean, how great, really, if we want to look at it, really, Is Beyonce that great? Again, man, so many women in the same industry, the same age, who are heads and tails better. You know, it's a lot of people call it making a deal with the devil. And that also ties into the 27 Club. You know, these extraordinary entertainers who all of a sudden, their life was cut short at 27. And there's so many of them to mention, man. Amy Weinstein. Weinhardt. Jim Morrison, Janis Joplin, so many people bit the bullet at 27. And there is a reason behind that. Amy Winehouse, I'm sitting here, Weinstein, I'm going through every Weinberg, I'm going through every wine but Winehouse, Amy Winehouse, Janis. Jimi Hendrix and Taylor Swift is that entertainer in 2024. That's today's show, guys. I had a blast. I love doing this show. I love just sitting down talking to you, man. I hope you continue to listen to it. I hope you spread the word. If this is not enough for you guys, please go to russosbrand.com. Go to patreon.com/RussoTWC. I got a ton of videos on YouTube. You could follow me on Twitch, twitch.tv/VinceRussoLive. And also on X at the Vince Russo. Thanks for joining me, everybody. I will see you back here on Friday. Watch your step, he's got the plan, the attitude, man, you understand.